Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Abby D and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, February 10th, 2025, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 77 in the second paragraph, under No Condition Do We Criticize, reading through one paragraph ending, We Will Be Gratified with the Result. And we'll be commenting on that one paragraph. Today's readers are Chris W. for the 12 steps, Susan R. for the 12 traditions, Craig S. reading the text, and Penny C. reading page 164 at the closing. And thank you to Lynn F., who is our backup reader today. The reference number for Sunday, February 9th, 2025, for the special edition meeting is 22,150. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Chris W. to read the 12 steps. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris W. from Tennessee. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continue to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to our compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you so much, Chris W., for reading the 12 steps. And I will now ask Susan R. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. Here are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to other compulsive overeaters who still suffer. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for allowing me to serve. I pass.
Thank you so much, Susan R., for reading the 12 traditions. All right. Just press star to mute your phone again. All right. Sounds good. Thank you. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big in the second paragraph, starting with "Under no condition do we criticize," reading through one paragraph, ending "We will be gratified with the result," and commenting on that one paragraph today. And I will now ask Craig S. to begin reading. Thanks, Craig.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. Good morning. I am Craig F., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply, we tell him that we will never get over drinking until we have done our utmost to straighten out the past. We are there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so, never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the results. This paragraph, this process that we're in, this making amends, is so important, so vital, and such a big part of recovery that we do a lot of other things. We make an inventory of ourselves. We do other things, but the reason that this is such a big deal is that it requires humility. It requires the utmost in humility, and humility is the goal or the operative part of the steps. In step 3, we learned about selfishness. Back in how it works, we learned that selfishness was trying to control the actions and thoughts of other people and having a script for other people. And we decided to quit doing that, and we turned our life and will over to God's care. And if we come to this thing with a script, it says, I'm going to make amends, and and I expect him to make an apology too, then we're still operating in selfishness. We haven't given up that that idea that we can control what people say. If I go to this process with an expectation of result, then I'm still operating in that selfishness. And we can do it so subtly sometimes that we have to be careful. If I say to somebody something along the lines of, do you remember when you were mean to me? And I gossiped about you, and when I did that, and I want to make amends, you've already blamed them for the whole situation, you know? By just saying that, you know, instead of saying, I gossiped about you, I did some hurtful things, and I'm here to make an amends for that. If I do anything that is taking the focus off of my actions, then I have stepped out of bounds, and I'm not really making progress towards this life of surrender to God. I'm doing it with an expectation. I'm doing it in order because I'm hoping to them to say, I'm sorry I was mean to you that time, and I understand that why you would have gossiped about me. No, we haven't gotten anywhere. We haven't reduced our own self-centeredness a bit. And that's why it's so critical. That's why nothing will be accomplished. Nothing good can be accomplished without doing this. And that's why we don't tell people what to do. We don't say to them, now it's your turn. We don't say to them, I'm really sorry and I'm hoping that this fixes it and you and I can be friends. And now you're still telling him what he can do. We have to be simply plain and direct about our side of the street. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Craig F., for reading the paragraph and getting us started this morning. All right. So I'm going to take a line up, but I just want to say that although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph today?
This is Larry K.
from Boston. KDG.
Liz E. UK.
EB.
All right, I got Katie G from Boston, Lizzie from the UK, Pete B from, I believe,
Tony B.
Tony.
This is Larry K.
Larry K.
Michelle K.
Michelle K. All right, let's start with that. I have Katie G from Boston, Liz E from the UK, Pete B, Tony B, Larry K, and Michelle K. All right, Katie G, go ahead, followed by Liz E.
Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G, recovered in Boston. And Abby, thanks for taking the meeting. Sorry. What's super important for me is the language that I have used over the years. And I loved that the previous speaker talked about no expectations, because a lot of times for me, when I went into my amend work, it was like, I'm going to change this relationship. I'm going to get this amazing thing and people are going to love it. And I just want you to know that I've made many, many amends, and I have been thrown out of business offices. I have been told I can't be friends with you anymore. But back to the language, I don't apologize. I actually don't say I'm in OA and I'm not going to stop eating. I find that when I say that, it's very selfish. I say to people, well, first I make an appointment, right? I say, you know, is there a time that we can talk? I've been looking at our relationship. And I say things like, I regret my behavior. I wasn't the kind of friend that you deserved me to be. I was incredibly selfish. I often will give examples, like I know that you were suffering with the death of your brother, and instead of being your friend, I was very focused on me and my needs, and that's not the kind of person that I want to be, that God wants me to be, and I don't even think about their side of the street. Like, in the big book, we talk about disregarding the other person entirely, so there's no street. I'd have to be calm, frank, and open. And I heard someone say once, consider my amends. If the other person was perfect, what kind of daughter was I? What kind of friend was I? And then I also give them an opportunity to talk about, well, let me back up. I will say something that I appreciate about them and their relationship with me. And then finally, I'll give them an opportunity to talk about what it was like to be in that relationship with me. I have had amends made to me that I don't know what to do with. Like, I gossiped about you, or I really resented you, or, you know, you're someone in recovery that I just can't hear on the line. And I don't really understand those kind of amends because I have been taught so specifically about how to do this. And I'm a changed woman because I'm able to say I regret the kind of woman that I was to you just now, and I'm able to bring it in to my step 10. And there's nothing to be afraid of about amends, but if you don't do them, I'd be really afraid because it promises me that I will eat again. And with God, all things are possible. With that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Katie G. from Boston. Next up, we have Liz E. from the UK, followed by Pete B. from Pennsylvania.
Good morning. My name is Liz E. for Elegant from Bristol in the United Kingdom. Thank you. Thank you to everybody doing service. Just really to encourage anybody who hasn't shared or is a shy sharer, star one, I don't really want to do this today, but I know I need to do it. To keep my recovery today. It's, I guess this paragraph really helped me. And because, of course, I thought everybody did things to me, you know, that were not nice, or, and it was always, you know, how they spoke to me or how they did things to me, or it's just not fair, the world's unfair. But this really helped me see that the only behavior I can change is my own, and I need to look and see what my part is. And that was not immediately obvious to me. And certainly going through the steps the first time, it wasn't immediately obvious. But as I continue to stay recovered, it's more and more illuminating and uncomfortable, not very nice, feels a bit icky, feels a bit about how I can be and my behaviour and how I do things, how I say things. And this really helped me. And I went and made an amend to my previous partner, who we're not together now, but alcoholic gambler. And, you know, it was a really difficult relationship. But of course, I had part and my behavior in that. And that was incredibly helpful to me to understand and this journey that we're on. And yes, of course, there's always several sides to every story, and my behavior is part of that, and what I do stuff, and you know, and that's all I can do. And going with no motive to get anything for myself from the amend, and here it says, if our manner is calm, frank, and open, and that is so important. I would, you know, warn against anybody doing any amend if they are not calm, frank, and open. And that's what fellowship is around, you know, your sponsor, your other fellows, to help you do this in a way that is constructed, because we don't cause any more harm. Anyway, I'll leave it there. Thanks a million. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Liz E. from the UK. Next up, we have Pete B., followed by Tony B. Go ahead, Pete.
Thanks, Abby, for taking the meeting. You're doing a great job. Appreciate your service. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy in Pennsylvania. You know, I wish that somebody, I guess, better informed or differently informed could reach out to me on the membership list and give me a call or send me a text and explain to me how my ill feelings or any of my emotions at all can harm another human being. How is it that we can take the position, some of us, that we're powerless over everything, people, places, and things, yet our emotions can harm someone? Right? Understanding that the word harm means to materially injure or damage somebody. That's what harm means, right? Many of these stories, while they're inspiring and they're fantastic stories of reconciliation, they're not stories of restitution, right? Going out and making apologies is not making amends, is not making restitution for the harms done. There's value in reconciliation. There's value in straightening out the past. But going and reading letters to dead people on top of their graves about you forgiving them, right? That's not amends. That's reconciliation. That's straightening out the past. Amends has a specific meaning. It doesn't mean to amend. It means to make restitution for the harms that we've caused people. And if we don't have instances where that applies, we don't have to make up new ways to do it. We don't have to make up new strategies, go in and, you know, grovel in front of your friends and let them know that your recovery depends on you apologizing for your ill feelings or the way you mistreated them. That's not what we're doing. We're repairing the damage and the wreckage of our past. All those other things are just living consistent with our ideals, consistent with the deal we made with the power greater than ourselves to live our lives consistent with those ideals, right? So there's no need to make up new and additional things. We right the wrongs, we make restitution, right? And we live our life consistent with our ideals. Will we fall short? Do we have opportunities for reconciliation? Absolutely. And those are reconciliation, but they are not amends. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Pete B. from Pennsylvania. Next up, we have Tony B., followed by Larry K.
Thank you, Abby. Thank you for your service. My name's Tony B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater just for today, thanks to God's grace, thanks to these steps and all of you. Yes, so a chance to grow up, really, this, I feel. Before, for example, my dad, I'd go to him periodically, I felt resentful about my childhood. And I'd try to talk it over, saying, you know, I've got a feeling that there was early trauma, even, you know, I've got a sense you may have abused me, complaining about the unfair treatment that I had. My brother went to a private school, I was at state schools. I was trying to get something. I was trying to set straight things for me because I was very ill and didn't know where to go for relief. So that was before the steps. Actually, I felt very guilty. I'd wasted opportunities I'd been given. I hadn't made much of the education I'd had. I hadn't got a good job. I'd a failed marriage. Couldn't seem to live a decent adult life. And I was definitely still enmeshed and dependent on others to fulfill my needs. And so this was all new to me, where the step process brought me now to this point. I'd owned up honestly to my sponsor in step 5. I'd felt a great relief and a freedom from that. And I was now ready to do the same with those I'd hurt, to see my part, to speak it openly and frankly. And as it says, nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do this. and our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and those about us. So this is on a spiritual plane. It's saying nothing worthwhile can be accomplished. And you might well say, well, I've accomplished lots in my life, thanks. But this is a different dimension. This is on a spiritual plane. And I was gratified with the results. I did feel free. I felt that this is new. This is a new thing that I am entering upon. I can stand up on my own. I can live my own life, and I can choose how I behave, regardless of the other person. And it is just a start. Keeping my side of the street clean is essential for me, or I'm blocked off from the power. I regress and I return to the food. And for me to return to the food is to die. So this is essential for me. And thank you so much all for letting me share. I love you very much and have a beautiful day.
Thank you so much, Tony B. And Tony, I missed where you were calling from. I'm not sure that you said where you were calling from, so I missed the state. So Tony B, do you want to say where you're calling?
Scotland.
Oh, Scotland. Okay. Thank you. All right. Next up, we have Larry K from, I believe, Chicago, and then Michelle K. Oops, sorry. I forgot to stop my timer. All right, Larry K.
That's okay, Abby. Yeah, thanks so much. This is Larry K, and I do. I am a compulsive overeater, recovered, and I do reside in Chicago. You know, the paragraph says, under no conditions do we criticize such a person or argue. Okay, we move on from there. You know, my faulty emotions often and regularly significantly impacted my decision-making and thus my behaviors. All action is forever born in thought. So my emotions give rise to poor decision-making, and then the behaviors come, and then people get hit with shrapnel, even though my intentions are good. And for me, this resulted in impulsive reactions towards others. I conveyed anger and disdain, and that was harmful. I created confusion and conflict, even though I wasn't aware of it, and that was harmful. And this needs to be cleaned up for me. Not for anyone else, but for me. I make amends for me, not the person I harmed. Why is that? Because as to the extent that I do not clean up the harms that I've created, is to the extent that I will remain blocked off from this power, and I need this power. I'm powerless. The concept of making amends has deep historical roots. You know, it's not just new to AA and OA. There's a desire for redemption, sometimes restoration, yes, atonement, you know. And so for me, whenever I do anything, like riding a bike or thinking, I'm proceeding in a way which is beyond procedure, you know. It's beyond procedure. This is to say that it's beyond any describable procedures. I cannot tell anyone how to do anything, even something as simple as riding a bike or making amends. I can only say the way to do it is to do it. Yeah, I can give you information. I can give you instructions. I can give you I'm a big shot. I'll tell you all day long about suggestions and procedures. Don't I know so much? But these instructions don't come together until you get the feel for it. You get the hang of it. And then what you get by doing it surpasses all procedure. It surpasses all instruction, all suggestion, all know-it-allism. In other words, what can be shown cannot be said. And for me, it's like there's a phenomenon of perceptual melody. What I mean by that is that the divine music is made when we combine our thinking with our actions. And this is the essence of developing a God-centered consciousness. This is the notion of congruence with my thinking and action. I need God's help. And it's vastly distinct from perceptual dissonance, where I have discontinuity of action and thinking. And then I needed food and food and food. I need to remember again that all action's born in thought. And when I sponsor, I have to evoke the active power. Thanks, Abby. I have to evoke the active power of doing instead of suppressing the motivation. I don't want to do a disservice to my fellows. I don't want to smother initiative. Let them go out and do it, and then you'll know. And I like what Craig had to say about humility. That's a big part of it. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Larry K. in Chicago. Next up, we have Michelle K., and then I'll take another lineup. Michelle K., go ahead and let us know where you're calling from.
My name is Michelle K. I'm calling from New Jersey. I am gratefully recovered one day at a time in this program for 10 years this year. It's back to back, but I'm grateful for every day that I'm given. For me, when I first started this program, before I started working the steps, I lived in a state of victim. And for me, that was, you know, I was the victim and I was hurt and all of these things. And when I started working the steps and I got to this step, and I went to the fourth step, it made me realize my own, I don't know the word I'm looking for. It just made me realize how self-centered I was and a state of self-pity I lived in, not recognizing the people that I harmed, whether I liked them or not, I still hurt them in some way. And I had to be humbled and humble myself and step up and talk about what I did and make an amends and clean up my side of the street and how I felt about it, whether I liked it or not. It didn't make a difference. That wasn't the point. The point was is that we have to grow amongst our spiritual minds and spirituality, and growing spiritually means allowing myself to be open, to be honest with myself, to be honest with others, no matter what the outcome. Sometimes it wasn't good, sometimes it was. But allowing myself to feel those feelings and not eat over them and to make that amends, as hard as it would be, was freeing. It was comforting. It was, it made me realize that everything is going to be okay. And that no matter what happens, I have to accept life on life's terms and accept their feelings on their terms. And that I did the best I can to make an amends and clean up my side of the street. And there's nothing more that I can do except to do the next right thing for myself and for that person, whether I liked them or not, or whether it was fair or not. I used to think about it's not fair and why do I need to do this? And, you know, this person was harmful to me and, you know, whatever. But making amends, it means allowing yourself to admit your wrongs. Thank you very much. Have a good day, and thank you for your service. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much, Michelle Kay in New Jersey. And that reminds me that we have something special coming up. So we have the Vision for You convention coming up and the Big Book Study. And it is in Newark, New Jersey. I was told that last week I called it Newark, and that's how you know you're not from Newark, New Jersey, is when you call it that. So it's Newark, I believe. And it is a weekend of recovery, and it is starting Friday, November 7th, and closing Sunday, November 9th. So there's information on the visionforyou.info website. So a vision, the number 4u.info. And on the homepage, there's a countdown. It's 270 days away. It's a convention with all of the details, the hotels, the meal, shuttle times, the parking, all of that is on there. So we'd love to see you there. It's called 2025 Power of the Big Book Weekend. So just go to the homepage, and then there's a little box that says more info underneath the countdown. Just click on that and all the information is there. So registration is open, and go ahead and register. All right. So we are reading on page 77 in the second paragraph today, starting with under no condition do we criticize. And we read through that one paragraph, ending we will be gratified with the result. And we are just commenting on that one paragraph today. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who would like to share today?
Dale A. from the state of Washington.
Kelly H.
Ben W. from North Carolina.
All right.
Erin K. From Michigan.
All right, I heard Erin. Okay, so I got Dale A., Ken W. H., Roy C., Ken W., and Erin K. And Ken W. H., I don't know if you put your name in there, but I did hear Ken W., so I don't know if I just heard that twice. So let's just start with that. I have Dale A., then Ken W. H., if you did put your name out there.
I
Roy
did not.
C. No, okay. All right, well, good morning, Ken W. H., anyways. Okay, so Dale A., and then Roy C., then Ken W., then Erin K. All right, Dale A., go ahead.
Good morning. This is Gail H. from the state of Washington. Oh, thank you so much for the reading and the sharing. And what just so resides with me is needing to be in a state of humbleness. And God helps me with that. And what I did is follow directions. Sometimes what gets in my way is my own confusion. And just to do the next right thing that I've been advised to do in my world. And it was making amends to my husband of like 40 years at that point. And I must say, I'm someone that, despite all of my human good attempts, I did it all wrong. I told him exactly what a pain in the neck he was earlier in the day. And then I quickly made amends. I'm so sorry. We had an appointment to meet, and I had my postcard already. And on the way home from an event, I did it again. And I thought, this man is never going to come for the appointment that we had in a certain room in the house. And he did. And I read my card because I was not safe to not do it. And the most amazing thing, despite doing it all wrong, I learned about step 10. And after 4 decades, I mean, we were married for 50 years. He's just died a year ago. He told me something he was never able to tell anybody else. And in God's world, this is exactly what needed to happen. Not my human world, but in God's world. And I learned, and I keep learning, and the confusion is less. I've had a blind spot, and it's been there for a reason. And as it unfolds, and it'll be 56 years in this program, I keep learning more and more. So thank you. And you're all a part of that. And I pass.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Dale H. from Washington. Next up, we have Roy C., followed by Ken W. Roy C., go ahead.
Hi, this is Roy C. I'm calling from southern New Jersey, and this is Eagles territory. There's a lot of celebration going on at this part of the country, and I was part of it last night. I was able to, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and so I was able to meet up with people that in former days, when I was on healthily eating, I'd go to celebration parties and just be wrong about my eating. And I was unhealthy at that time. And I did harm to those around me because they didn't want to see me as an unhealthy person. And last night, I was able to go to a party where there was the same people that I partied with many years ago, and not be an unhealthy person. You know, I didn't compulsively eat. I allowed everybody there to enjoy what was going on there without indulging myself. And I wasn't there the whole time. Because it's very hard not to submit to compulsions. But while I was there, I was able to behave more appropriately at a celebration and have a good time with those around me without picking and snacking the way that I had in the past. And in that way, without saying anything to anybody about it, I felt that I was able to make amends to people that I'd done harm to, because my harm was to be an unhealthy person, and they didn't want to see me that way. And it was a pleasurable thing to do, and I'm so glad that I got to do that, and I hope to do that again in the future. Thanks for letting me share.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Roy C. in New Jersey. Next up, we have Ken W., followed by Aaron K. Ken, go ahead.
Hi, this is Ben W., Ben with a B versus a K, in North Carolina. And, No, it was probably me. I'm a compulsive overeater and just new to OAM, but I am working with a sponsor. I've been unpacking a lot here recently about myself, and the idea of cleaning my side of the street. I don't think I've ever really looked at my side of the street, and oh boy, the things I'm finding. I find it very stunning, the selfishness, the arrogance, the lack of honesty with my, the ego. You know, I've always thought that I'm a great person, I'm a good person, and what I am seeing from finally becoming introspective is that I've got a lot of work to do, a whole lot of work to do before I ever get to the point of making real amends. I mean, there's things I can do now that can help deal with some of the things that I have done, but the idea of approaching those around me that are important to me and making real amends is, wow, I really can't even begin to do that just yet until I do get my relationship right with my higher power. And I'm so appreciative of the shares. They're so encouraging, the work that others have done, and you know, it gives me hope that I can do it myself. And thank you all so much for your shares. It's extremely encouraging. I really appreciate it, and I'm so thankful for this meeting and what you all bring to it. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ben W. Ben with a B. From North Carolina, and welcome to the meeting, Ben W. All right, and next up we have Aaron K.
Morning, excuse me, morning, Abby. This is Aaron K., recovered compulsive overeater in Michigan. Yeah, this is, man, I've learned what this really means kind of the hard way. You know, just sort of looking at some of the lines, you know, we're there to sweep off our side of the street, but it doesn't mean that we get to sweep our dirt from our side onto their side. And, you know, I was thinking this through, and it reminded me of another quote, I think that might be elsewhere in the Big Book, which is, the world judges me by my actions while I judge myself by my intentions. And it's like, when I take an action that causes another person direct harm, they feel the harm of that action. And the intention behind it really doesn't matter. It's immaterial. And it, you know, my alcoholic mind will instantly try to assuage any guilt by throwing up a bunch of justifications. And I mean, sure, it says his faults are not discussed. So it's basically acknowledging that they may be somewhat at fault, right? But those justifications, you know, they could have to do with actual harms done to us by that person. But honestly, most of the time, my mind will try to find some other more sneaky or subtle reason to give myself a pass. You know, I only said that because I was tired. You know, I have past trauma from a former relationship, or I felt triggered because you talked to me like my mom used to, or, you know, it's a lot of times, like, you know, I will try to find whatever justification, and it really doesn't have anything to really do with them. It's all about what I thought motivated me to do the thing, to say the thing, to cause the harm. And what I've learned somewhat the hard way is, like, these motivations that are really excuses, they don't belong in amends. And really early on, when I went through the steps, you know, the very first time, I wrote a letter of amends to someone I really owed amends to, my ex-husband. And, you know, unfortunately, it was just full of justifications. And it was still so self-centered and selfish, and it was so much about me. You know, I ended up rewriting that letter a year later, and it was a very different letter, focused, you know, completely on sticking to my own faults. I've also had the experience, by the way, that, you know, sometimes our faults in our thinking about a certain situation. And this, I think, is subtly different, because it has been appropriate for me in the course of an amends to admit some of my faulty thinking about something that somebody may not have otherwise been aware of. But God kind of led me to talk about that aspect of my own fault, but it wasn't as an excuse or a justification. And it was important to say. And that's my time, so I'll pass. Thanks, Abby.
Thank you so much, my friend Erin Kay from Michigan. All right, we have time for two more, so I'll take two more names. If you have shared in the last couple of days,
Shanna
please.
C. Sorry.
All right, Shanna C.
Jana V. New York.
Jana V. In New York. Let's go with that. Shanna C., go ahead, followed by Jana V.
Good morning, Abby. Thank you so much for your service and everyone who shared. And this is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee, through God's grace, absolutely, and the help of strong sponsorship and the directions in this book that I tend to really overthink and try to read between the lines here. So by the time I was at the point where I was able to make amends, you know, I didn't have all the wonderful motivation. You know, if me doing a kind act revolved around me having 100% clear, joyous motives, I would never do anything. Because let's face it, there are things that I don't want to do. I get diffident, okay? The Big Book talks about that. And thanks be to God that is taken into account, that God understands that we still get afraid, but yeah, we get to do it afraid. And I get to pray, you know, God, please remove my fear and direct my attention to what you'd have me be as I go and try and set right these wrongs. And so by this time, hopefully, I've gone over the exact nature of my defect and the exact thing that I've done to actually cause harm to this person so that I'm prepared and I've done my homework. And I'm praying by this time for the opportunity to make those amends while at the same time being willing to go out and take the action to make contact with the person if possible. But sometimes I can't or whatever. And I got to tell you, there have been amends that I've had on my list that all of a sudden the person's coming to my mind and I hadn't seen them in a decade. And I pray for that person because that's what we're supposed to do for whatever reason. And then I ask for the opportunity and I show up at a department store and I see that person in the department store right in front of me. And I would love to say I gleefully went over and made this gracious amend that I prayed for and about earlier that day. But no, I shrank. I hid behind a clothes rack because I was scared. But guess what I did? I prayed. I made a quick call. I'd done my homework. I confronted her right there in the store. And I let God lead. And whatever came out, came out. It wasn't perfect, and it probably wasn't the prettiest thing. But by goodness, it showed me evidence that there is a power greater than myself that cares about this stuff. And I shared with her that I was, you know, irresponsible and whatever, the things that I did. And of course, 9 times out of 10, the unexpected happens. I was expecting her to look at me like I had 2 heads, but she remembered me and wished me well. And they're not all like that. But the cool thing is, if I have to depend on my feelings to do this work, I'm screwed. Thankfully, I do have, when I'm willing to take the action as outlined in that book, God does not let me down when. Oh, he does not make too hard terms for those who seek him. And I'm seeking him when I take the action in this book. And I don't have to figure it out. And if my only motivation to make an amend is...
Shanna.
Yeah, I hear you. Is so that I don't have to eat again? That's good enough to make a start. And that continues to allow me the opportunity to grow in my faith. And it gives me a story to tell so that other people can have some hope too that maybe they can do the same thing. Anyway, that's all I have. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Shanna C. from Tennessee. And next up, we have Jana V. from New York, and you'll have about 2 minutes. So, Jana V., go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. Jana V. from New York. I've always loved fairy tales, and I'm so glad I had my 3 kids because it gave me an excuse to read them the fairy tales. And the thing I love about the fairy tales is I think there's a lot of wisdom there. Like, you know, there was a king and he had 3 sons and they went to seek their fortune and 2 of them were not very wise and 1 was wise, whatever. So I had kind of that kind of experience with my amends. I have three, that's how I see it. I have 3 kids. And I went and did the amends with 1 kid, and he was kind of had negative things to say to me, but I listened, you know, I listened and I accepted it. Then I went to the next one, and he said, "Yeah, sure, we can make an appointment to do the amends," but then he never followed through. And then the third one, I did my amends, and she said, "Oh, you got it exactly right. I'm really proud of you. Yeah, this is great." So it was sort of like a fairy tale kind of story. And I accepted it all. But the one that wouldn't meet with me, or not that he said he would, but then he didn't, I'm having some difficulty with him right now. I'm struggling. And I'm realizing that what I need to do is I need to work on some living amends with him because I don't have the opportunity to talk with him. And that's it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. That was Jana V. New York. Thank you, everyone, for sharing this morning. We are going to stop there. So thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Monday, February 10th, 2025, for our 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,151. That's 22151. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny C. please read version for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Reading until keep you until then.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
Thank you so much, Penny C., for reading 164. And we can end the recording. I'm not sure if the recording was ended yet.